Hey guys, what's up? This is Jacques. Welcome back to Unpopular. Today we are talking about whatever I want to talk about because I've just been jotting things down on my iPhone in the Notes app, things that have just been on my mind the last few days, things I want to get into. I've had a lot of nice messages about the Meghan Markle episode last week. 99% of people loved it. One person hated it, which I'll get to in a second. But a lot of people were totally into it, which I was happy about because, you know, it was sort of a different kind of topic than I would usually do. I don't really talk about the royals, so I'm glad people found it interesting because I wasn't sure how it would be received. And because I have a lot of American listeners, it's funny that a lot of the casual American listeners of mine that aren't following the royal family closely, and I told you guys last week that I'm not a big royal person either, but a lot of people in America just weren't aware that Meghan Markle's just lied about a lot of things that she's been fact-checked a lot by the British press, but the American press never really covered that part so much because in America, especially over the last few years, criticism of Meghan Markle was equal to racism. So they didn't really cover it. And then people would message me going, oh, wow, I didn't know that she made up this thing here or that thing there. So I think people have been intrigued. And I've talked to a lot of people lately that people are like sort of turning on Meghan Markle, like Americans, because I know a lot of Americans were in her corner over the last few years. And I was someone, like I said, that I was kind of neutral on her. And there's the tide is definitely turning on her. And the whole thing of not being able to criticize her was really what appealed to me about that book, because it was just like, it wasn't about her specifically, like wanting to like take her down. I don't really care so much about her, but it was just like another one of these fucking things that we weren't allowed to do. Like, can't criticize anything to do with the COVID rollout. Can't criticize Meghan Markle. Can't criticize Me Too. Can't criticize BLM. Like all of these things. And then, you know, can't criticize certain housewives. You know, can't say, why is Ebony on New York? She doesn't even know any of these women. Why is every episode turning into, you know, a history on racism? You know, we weren't allowed to say any of those things. And then again, here we are. And the House of Cards has fallen down. I just felt like this was another one of those things. And that's kind of what appealed to me about it. Now, like I said, most people loved it. I did get one person who was very angry about the episode. They messaged, I think this is the same person, okay? Because this was, they came for me on Patreon. They left me a bad review on Apple. They came for me on Instagram. I'm sure, I think it was the same person across the board, but we had a little back and forth in the DMs on Instagram, which I thought was fine. You know, like people can criticize because they said, oh, hey, you know, I didn't like this. It was one-sided. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, I literally opened the episode saying that it is one-sided, which it is. Like I explained that off the jump. I said, hey, this book by Tom Bauer, it's very one-sided. It's very salacious, but hey, there is another biography called Finding Freedom that Meghan authorized to have all of her friends leak, and it's very glowing, and it tells her side of the story, so this is just the other side of the story. So I did say that, but this person was so angry, they unsubscribed from my Patreon. So they were actually a patron for a long time and they unsubscribed over it and they left some mean parting message, because you can say why you unsubscribe from the Patreon, and I can't remember what they said, but it wasn't nice. And then they left me this like scathing review on on Apple. Let me read you the review, okay? 1 star, unsubscribe. Poor Jacques. All that work at the Daily Mail has obviously left a miserable impression. He has turned into the average Daily Mail Meghan hateful commentator. Honestly, his podcast went from interesting to stale, biased Meghan Markle hate drivel. God forbid a woman is successful and ambitious. His views on Meghan versus Kate were absolutely ignorant. Kate doesn't wear H&M often, just here and there, to be like us. Her wardrobe and style far exceeded Meg's. It was such a snore. Be a little more exciting. Give us new stuff, not regurgitated filth from the king of smut, Tom Bauer. Also, how weak are the British royal family and their people if little old Meghan Markle can bring them down? Get a grip. Find something interesting to do. I was a little taken aback by the intensity, just because it's like the person was a patron before, so obviously they were a fan of the show enough to subscribe to the Patreon. I mean, I had people message me that like, I love your podcast, and they're not on Patreon. So this person must have really liked me. So they must be very invested in Meghan Markle to have this shift. And I did click on their other reviews to see when I get a one-star review, I definitely always click because I want to see what else they've said, and you can always pinpoint exactly why they've left you the review. Like, you'll have something saying, you know, "Vile, this is a racist podcast." You know, they'll leave that on me, and then I'll click their thing to see their review history, and all of their other reviews are like, you know, "Zach Peter said, you know, how dare he stick up for Erica Jane?" Like, it's like those types of people. So I always like to see what kind of person is leaving me a one star. And then I clicked on this person's profile, and of course they were obsessed with hating the British royal family, which I get, by the way. There's a lot of shadiness about the royal family, okay? We know about Prince Andrew and all of his Jeffrey Epstein stuff. I know that Prince Charles has done, like, pay-for-play kind of things, taking all this money for things that he shouldn't have. Like, they're a very scandalous family. I totally get why people would hate them. By the way, side note, Tom Bauer, who did the Meghan Markle book, also has a book about Prince Charles, exposing Prince Charles. So he slammed people on both sides. But I don't really get standing Meghan Markle, because the thing is, she's objectively a liar. Like, that's the thing. Like, take opinion away, take the salaciousness of the Tom Bauer book away. Like, she has been fact-checked many times, and she lies. Like, she just makes things up, okay? And I think it makes more sense to be like, okay, I hate Meghan Markle, and I hate the royal family. But to be like, I automatically love Meghan Markle just because I hate the royals so much is, like, a little bit weird. And, you know, hey, I told you guys that the book was one-sided. I opened it with a freaking disclaimer. So what more can I do? And the person was like, you know, "Are you going to expose, like, Kate and William?" And I was like, well, no, because no one would care about that. That's not interesting. Meghan Markle thing's interesting because of, like I said, all the history with, you know, the racism and everything of the last few years. And also she has this, like, juicy Hollywood backstory of, like, you know, ambitious actress, like, going through Hollywood and being this, like, social climber. And the book kind of gives you an insight into that celebrity liberal, like, activism kind of class. And all that stuff's, like, very interesting. But I do get being triggered over one thing specifically, because you guys know that I have Mayor Pete derangement syndrome. I don't hide it. And I feel like if I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts and then suddenly the person on the podcast, like, reviewed the latest Pete propaganda, because, honey, Mayor Pete, everything positive about Mayor Pete out there is fake PR spin. Because I don't know if you guys know, but obviously he has, like, all the Democratic establishment on his side, and that's why he gets all the good praise on, you know, CNN, the cable news. But he's also represented by, like, CAA and all of the Hollywood agencies. So he has, like, full-on Hollywood spin PR. That's with his stupid podcasts and his, like, awful books and his propaganda documentary on Amazon, all that stuff. So you are being brainwashed by pro-Pete messaging, but if I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts and they suddenly started, like, gushing over the new Mayor Pete book and were like, "Oh, he's so great, he's gonna, like, lead the next generation," I would be disgusted. I actually think that I have, yeah, okay, so back in the day, and I do regret this, I used to love Tulsi Gabbard. I actually can't stand Tulsi Gabbard now. That's a story for another day. But when Tulsi Gabbard very first came on the scene, I thought she was amazing. Again, can't stand her now. But I opened some random podcast and they were shitting on Tulsi, and I was enraged. And, like, I remember I left like a scathing one-star review. And now since I've had my podcast, I don't do that anymore. But I definitely get it. Like, I've been there before. One last thing on Meghan. Okay, so now that I've been, you know, Markle-pilled and I'm, like, totally against her and I'm, like, getting into all this royal gossip, I was going back looking at royal wedding dresses, which obviously I've seen all of the royal wedding dresses because they get so much media attention that even if you don't follow the royals, like, you'll still be exposed to it. But I took a more, like, critical look, and Meghan Markle's wedding dress was terrible. I was like, wow, she actually wore this. It was so ill-fitting. Even the shade of white was too bright. It was just very unflattering, and it's even more surprising after reading the Tom Bauer book, because she went to great lengths with that wedding and they had to increase the budget for it because she wanted to have this, like, amazing celebrity wedding that, you know, would help launch her brand. And, like, all of the celebrities, by the way, that attended that wedding, she didn't even know most of them, or she had, like, met them once, but she'd strategically invited certain people, like the Clooneys and Serena Williams, who she barely knew, and Victoria Beckham, and she just wanted to put that image out there. So it's a lot of image crafting and it was just all for show. So to think that you go to all this trouble of inviting, you know, A-listers that you don't even know to your wedding because you want to put on this spectacle and then you get the dress wrong. And then honestly, I looked back at Kate Middleton's dress, pretty nice. Like she looked really good. It was fitted perfectly, you know, it like tailored around her waist and then it had these beautiful lace sleeves and it was just so nice. I will say that Meghan's reception dress, because she had two dresses. I think it's a reception dress. I don't understand, because a lot of people have like two wedding dresses. So I assume one's for the ceremony, one's for the reception, right? So it's a bit more comfortable. Anyway, she had a dress for the reception, which was like a halter neck and sleeveless. It was a bit sexier. That one looked amazing. But the actual main wedding dress, absolutely not. I felt a little bit bad last week for saying that I didn't care about Anne Heche, which I didn't, but then a few people did message me and I didn't realize that Anne Heche had this, like basically like a really tragic backstory of her upbringing and all these things. And then she actually is a really talented actress. Yeah, she's a really talented actress. That's funny because if you don't, like I haven't seen that many of her movies. I've seen a couple like here and there, but some people are really talented and you just don't really realize it. There's a conspiracy theory going around about her that she was murdered because she had a Lifetime film coming out. It was a Lifetime movie about human trafficking. It's called Girl in Room 13. And conspiracy theorists believe that she was murdered because of the movie. I obviously just don't believe I don't believe it. People are really obsessed with human trafficking. Like, I know that it happens, but the people that are into human trafficking, they think everything is a human trafficking conspiracy. Like, everything. I mean, sometimes they get it right. Like, the Jeffrey Epstein thing definitely came true with where they're like, oh my God, there's an elite ring of pedophiles and they have a secret island. And that sounds like craziness. And then the Jeffrey Epstein thing comes out and then Jeffrey Epstein's murdered. And it's like, okay. So the conspiracy theorists do get it right a lot of the time, which they really do. But she absolutely was not murdered for making a fucking Lifetime film about human. Like, this is just a generic. It's just a generic Lifetime movie. And Lifetime actually had to come out. They put out a statement. They're like, this movie was not about Jeffrey Epstein. It has nothing to do with that. So, yeah, whatever. That was kind of funny. But, yeah, she's very talented. And sometimes when people die, then you realize how talented they are. So if you follow me on Instagram at UnpopularJP, I've definitely been, like, I've done a deep dive on Olivia Newton-John since her death. So I was always... Obviously, I knew who she was. I've seen Grease and I knew like some of the main hits. I know Xanadu, obviously, like Magic, Physical, et cetera, et cetera. She's an icon, but I didn't realize actually how talented she is as a singer and a vocalist. And I was going back and I've gone through a lot of her songs because her songs are pretty cheesy, but she does have some really good songs in there too. And her voice is beautiful and her voice is so versatile and it's like pitch perfect. Okay, so she can kind of sing anything and she's done all these different genres and I couldn't believe it because she did country music and she did soft rock and then she's done pop and she's done a lot of different styles and she can pull it all off. And there's a concert of her on YouTube from 1982. The whole concert is live. Every single song sounds like exactly like the CD. And she even does a cover of Dolly Parton's Jolene. But she sings it like a disco song and then she ends up sounding like Donna Summer because she's doing the Donna Summer falsetto. And I'm like, this is genius. Who thinks to turn a country song, Jolene, into like a Donna Summer disco song and then pulls it off flawlessly? And I was kind of just a little bit blown away by the Olivia thing because she's someone that I don't think most people realize how talented she was as a singer and as a performer. I also watched a variety special that she did. It was called Hollywood Nights. I think it was in the late 70s or maybe it was 1980. And it had like Elton John and Tina Turner and Karen Carpenter and all these others there. It was like a full on like classic cheesy variety style, her singing and doing, you know, skits and stuff. And I was thinking out of the artists today, the only person that could really pull that off would be maybe J-Lo, but not with the vocals of Olivia at all. And like Lady Gaga could easily pull that off. But Lady Gaga is like so talented, but there's really not that many pop stars out there now that could pull off a whole live variety special with amazing vocals and being able to do, you know, dance routines. She'd like a tap dance routine with, oh my God, who is it? The famous, God, was it Gene Kelly? I cannot remember. Someone. Anyway, so talented, kind of crazy. I've been on this whole thing of just like Googling certain people that I've always known of and then going, wow, they're way more talented than I realize. And I've also been in a bit of a Leanne Rimes hole. Okay. You know her song, her first song, Blue? She recorded that at 11. I actually did not know that. And she sounds like fucking Patsy Cline. So it's like, how do you at 11 years old? So the song came out when she was 13, but the actual recording is from when she was 11 years old. And she sounds like Patsy Cline with the yodeling and everything. And I'm just like, this is completely insane, an 11-year-old sounding like Patsy Cline. And then I was just thinking like, wow, Leanne Rimes is such a vocal talent and such a talent within country music. And I feel like she's so overshadowed by the Brandy Glanville cheating scandal with how she got with Eddie Cibrian. Cause you know, everyone knows that Leanne was married. Eddie Cibrian was married. They were doing a TV movie together. They fell in love. They had an affair. They've been together ever since. And it was a bit of a train wreck actually for years in the tabloids. And then people hated her. Like Leanne Rimes was so hated. And I was just thinking like, To be such a talent from such a young age, like a child prodigy, really, and then to have so much of your career overshadowed by like this stupid tabloid thing. And her career should have lasted longer, because I was looking through her Wikipedia at her hits, and her run of success was really only from like the mid-90s right to the early 2000s. And then after about like 2002, she's just like commercially was dead. I mean, in terms of like on the charts and stuff. So I thought that was kind of sad, but I was watching the music video for Blue. So she's 13 when she recorded that. It's actually pretty creepy because they do it in like a Lolita style. Like I think they styled her like Lolita on purpose. And even though she was 13, she actually looks much older. She looks like her age looks ambiguous, okay, because she looks like, is this girl, you know, 13 or is she 21? Like, you can't really tell. You could think like, oh, she's 21, but she's got a baby face. And they put her in glasses similar to Lolita's in the Kubrick film and like the famous poster. It looks like that. And she's by the pool and she's checking out these guys by the pool and she's putting the glasses down Lolita style. And then these guys that look older, again, I couldn't tell how old they were, but they're definitely older than her. They sort of surround her, and then the camera's looking like it's from like a POV from her looking up at the guys, and they're flexing their muscles and trying to show off. And then she's kind of like shooing them away, like she's not interested. But I'm like, this is like very weird. And she's got all this, like, she's got a lot of makeup on too. She looks like Toddlers and Tiaras a bit, because I was looking at her album covers before, because I guess she was releasing music from a really young age, and she had like a lot of heavy makeup and then obviously like this style, country and western styling from like the early 90s, so it's already going to look dated and make you look older. So really it looks like it's almost like a fucking child prostitute, like a little girl dressed up like a grown woman, and then the video has all of these like Lolita connotations in it, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't think they would do that today. But an amazing voice. Also, as talented as she is, it also reminds you how fucking talented Patsy Cline is, because she still didn't sound as good as Patsy Cline. And maybe if she had recorded the song at, you know, 25, she could have sounded like Patsy, but just still doesn't come close to Patsy. And then she's still like one of the best country vocalists, Leanne of her generation for sure, but it still doesn't even touch Patsy Cline. Like Patsy was just on like a whole different level. And yeah, I was thinking about Leanne Rimes as well. And do you guys remember that during the cheating scandal, Leanne went like a little crazy? Like she was doing all of this weird shit. Like she was dressing in Brandy's outfits. I remember seeing a blog post of it once, and she would see what Brandy was wearing, and then she would like wear the same outfit out and get papped in it. And she had some really strange behavior on social media. She went into some kind of mental health facility. And at the time, everyone thought like, okay, she's crazy. She's this insecure home wrecker. Like she had the worst image. That was like the height of Brandy's popularity and probably the peak of the hate against Leanne. And now when you look back at it, you think, okay, this was a girl that was a child, like truly a child star. I mean, she was already started singing and everything before she was even 10 years old. She was in the industry, like I said, being dressed like a grown woman when she's that young, you know, the Blue video at 13 that has all these like connotations and stuff in it. So, and having that level of success too, because Blue was a huge record. I mean, I remember a kid when it came out. So I was really young, but I was really into music and would watch the Music Countdown things in the morning instead of the cartoons from like a really young age. And I remember seeing the video as a kid because I still remember the pool imagery of the video. And you think about how successful she was. It's like, well, of course she has some fucking like mental health issues and is like a little bit kooky. And she seems like a nice person. And I know her and Brandy get along now. And Brandy said in a lot of interviews that she had to bury the hatchet with Leanne because she said that her for the sake of the kids, because she always said the kids love Leanne and they think she's great. So she can't be that bad if the kids love her and think she's a great stepmom. And, you know, I've got to say about Brandy. Look, I want Brandy on the podcast. I'm not going to be too tough because I do love Brandy. I think she's great, one of the best housewives and best reality stars. And I just think she's like, I love Brandy Glanville, but she had to have been hard work. I'll put it like that. She must have been hard work to be with. I mean, just this week I saw her. She was in the tabloids again because she was she sent like drunk text messages to her son's girlfriend saying like, stay the fuck away from my son and like, what's wrong with you and everything. And Brandy's about, I don't know, how old is Brandy Glanville? 45, pushing 50, something in that vicinity. And she's rage texting like a 17 or 18 year old. I'm just like, God, you know. Anyway, shout out to Brandy. We love her. Also, shout out to Leanne. I wouldn't mind seeing Leanne on Housewives of Beverly Hills. I think it would be fun to have a former country singer come on, maybe on Dallas. There are rumors that they might be bringing Dallas back, by the way, which I would like it. And I just want them to let it be Dallas. Let Dallas be Dallas. Let OC be OC. Don't try to make them woke. Just let them be what they are. And if some shows end up being naturally more conservative, go with it. If some shows end up being naturally more progressive, go with it. Like I know Atlanta showed a lot of stuff with, like they did charity stuff for BLM and everything. And they did, I remember Phaedra was like campaigning for the Democrats and stuff. Great. Whatever's happening in their lives, just show it, okay? And let's not have the annoying Karens on Twitter saying, I can't watch Dallas anymore because this housewife's a Republican. You know, just give us a good show. Because they really had a good cast. And I actually am missing, I miss Leanne Locken on television a lot. I miss Brandy Redman. I thought she was great. And I miss Tiffany Moon because I think Tiffany was like a little bit annoying, but I think she was a good reality star and I think she had a lot of potential. And I'm kind of surprised that Bravo hasn't found something else for her to do because she got a lot of attention from that season. Like she was sort of the fan favorite from that last season of Dallas and she's still quite big on TikTok and she is clearly very thirsty. I'm not saying that in a bad way. She's just really into being famous, you can tell. She still does a lot of interviews. She's really into TikTok. She's got a candle line. She's trying to do it all. So she clearly wants to be in the public eye and I feel like Bravo should find something for her to do if it's not putting her back on Dallas, because I would like to see more Tiffany Moon. I actually would like to see Tiffany Moon on Girls Trip, even though she was a one-season housewife. I would like to see Tiffany on Girls Trip. I just feel like there's a lot more there for us to see. I've got a funny story for you guys. I know you'll appreciate this. It's some drama straight out of Australia, some Aussie bogan drama. And this has actually been playing out here for a while, and I only just found out about it because I don't read anything sport. I don't read anything sport adjacent, but I just found this the other week and I jotted it down in my notes app. I was like, must talk about on pod because I'm like, I know these people enjoy this. So there's this rugby star here, Michael Leisha. He's Lebanese. I love a Lebanese man. Lebanese men are very hot. Well, not all of them, but like the ones that are hot are very hot. And he played for this team, the Bulldogs. Look, I don't know anything about sport at all, but I know the Bulldogs are like, because I know who the fuck they are. So they're clearly like pretty big and they're known for being a little rough around the edges. to put it nicely, he and his fiancée Cara, they had two kids together, right? They look like a really cute family. I saw some old pictures of them on Instagram, you know, a typical like footy player and his missus and the two kids, okay? Nice little family unit. And they're having a housewarming party. This is early last year. Now, rugby players are known in general for a lot of partying. They're always in scandals. Here in Australia, most of the sporting scandals definitely come out of the rugby. And it's usually It's either sexual assault stuff, it's like binge drinking and, you know, going too hard and destroying property and getting into shit like that, doing drugs, stuff like that. So they're definitely kind of the roughest of the sports here. And like the Bulldogs are known as one of the more questionable teams. So they're at this, they're at their housewarming party and they start drinking in the afternoon, right? And they're like boozing it up and they're going all afternoon into the night, all through into the early hours of the morning. So they've literally been drinking for 12 hours, okay? This is what the, because it turns into a court case. So they said 12 hours. Now, at one point early in the morning, after they've been boozing it up, Michael Leash has like gone to bed, but then he comes out to like, you know, check out what's going on out the back, and he catches his fiance Cara on her knees blowing one of his teammates, Adam Elliott. So she's blowing him in the backyard. Now, he completely flips out. Remember, they have two kids together, okay? So they're like, they're not just like dating. They're like pretty serious. I mean, it's their housewarming party, okay? So this isn't just a girlfriend. This is like the missus. Now, he completely flips out when he finds this. And he's really drunk. He's been boozing it up for like 12 hours. He storms inside the house. He's screaming, going, "I'm going to fucking kill her," losing his shit. Now, in his rage, he punches a glass door in the house. So the fist goes right through the glass. Then when he pulls his fist back, it slices open like his arm, his wrist, and then he's putting like blood is everywhere. Okay. I've seen pictures. All right. There's court pictures. The house is like, there's pools of blood everywhere. There's smears of blood everywhere. Like it looks like a scene from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Now he loses 2.5 liters of blood. The house is covered in it. He's rushed to hospital. He almost dies. So they have to like get him, or he would have bled to death if they didn't get him to hospital. While this is happening, the neighbors called the police and Michael actually gets charged with assault. That's stemming from when he was threatening to kill Cara. Now, I don't think there was nothing saying that he put his hands on her or anything, but because he was walking around screaming that he was going to kill her and he was in a rage and he was like smashing things, that is interpreted as like a direct threat on her life. So that's an assault. Now, court proceedings begin and then she actually shows up to support Michael at court. Now, it's unclear at this point if they're back together or not, but she's there to be by his side. And like, I was watching some clips from the media of it. It's so embarrassing because obviously like everyone knows what happens and she's got like her head down and the reporters are like swarming her. Like, "Would you like to comment on the ordeal, Mrs. Childerhouse," whatever her surname is. Anyway, the trial is going on for a while. It was recently resolved because she didn't show up to court recently. It was like right at the end. She didn't show up to court because she's heavily pregnant. Now, we don't know whose baby it is. I don't know if it's his baby. I don't know if it's someone else's baby. We don't know whose baby it is. As far as I know, I like had a little look around. She's got her Instagram on private now. She's keeping a low profile, as you can imagine. So Michael in court, he actually said that the incident ruined his life. This is a quote from him. "I couldn't get the image of my fiance performing oral sex on my best friend out of my mind." Oh yeah, it was his best mate. I forgot to add that in. So it was his teammate and his best mate. I should have said that at the start. Makes it even worse, right? Anyway, Cara actually retracted all of the allegations. So even though she didn't show up because she was really pregnant, she was like, "It's putting too much stress on me." Because what would happen is she would show up to the court things and then the media would, you know, take pictures of her and then this would get rehashed in the media. And I mean, I guess it's not good to be heavily pregnant. And then, I mean, this is like public shame, like, this is pretty bad. So she retracts all the allegations and she doesn't want him charged. And then Adam Elliott, you know, the best mate, the guy she was blowing, he shows up, he defends Michael. And then the lawyers just argued that there was no proof that she could have heard the death threats because he was just screaming them. You know, he was actually on the street covered in blood and it wasn't like he wasn't directing it right to her in person. So he gets out of that, but then he still gets charged with property damage. He had to quit the NRL because of it because he's got a criminal charge now. Now he's working as a carpenter. He says he's in a good place. He's been doing work on his mental health. He's getting his life back together. Meanwhile, Adam Elliott, the best mate, he is a hot mess because I was like, well, what's he up to? Last year, this was a few months after this incident, he got caught in a restaurant. He was wasted drunk again and he had locked himself in a toilet cubicle there with a women's rugby player. So we've got like women's. I don't mean to say this with like disdain. We have like women's sports now. I don't know who watches them. I just mean like women's rugby and women's AFL. I don't know how popular it is. Like, I don't know anything about sport. Okay. I'm just saying, I don't watch men's sport. I don't watch women's sport, but there's a women's rugby player and they're locked in a cubicle together. And they're drunk, and the restaurant manager is like knocking on the door and they won't come out. And then he has to get the key and opens the key. And then he has to basically drag Adam Elliott through the restaurant. He's shirtless because, I mean, I guess he was getting ready to like bang in the cubicle. And he's shirtless and he gets thrown out. So he got in trouble for that. So he's a mess. Now he's actually still dating that woman, the female rugby player that he was hooking up with in the toilet. They've both taken jobs at new teams in Newcastle. And if you go on their Instagram, they look very happy together. So they're starting a new life as, you know, Newcastle's rugby power couple. And there you have it. I've got some updates on my favorite, Bronwyn, the runaway mum. Obsessed with her. I always check her Instagram. And every day, actually, when I go to check it, I'm like, is today the day that she's blocked me? And it hasn't happened yet. Thank God. She either has no idea who I am, which is possible, although I have been coming for her for a long time. I mean, I was even coming after her during when like that season 15 of OC was airing. I was one of the first people to like go against Bronwyn when she was still popular, and then she ended up being like the most hated person. But for a while, a lot of the woke fans were, you know, praising her and being like, you know, make the show around her and like fire Kelly. And then they all just hated her when they saw how, like, what a nut she was. But anyway, been coming for her for a while. So either she has no idea who I am, which is very possible, or she's just such a narcissist that she doesn't care if it's positive or negative attention, just as long as people are talking about her. But hey, I love following her. I love checking out what's going on in her life. And if she blocks me, I will just look at her account with a burner account. So don't even try it, Bronwyn. So she was just on the cover of Out Traveler magazine. It's some gay, like a gay travel magazine. She did a photo shoot. She was naked in one of the photos. Actually, she was like taking a bath outdoors with her titties out and splashing the water around. It was a nice shoot. I actually liked the photos. When she was promoting it on Instagram, you would think that she had just covered Vogue. She was like so excited about it. And I'm like, I don't think anyone, like, this magazine is like a free pamphlet that they give out or something. But anyway, she was very into it. And of course, I read the entire article. It was just a lot more of like, why I'm living my best life without my kids. Like, it was just more of that. So I'll read you some of the quotes. One of the first things she said in there is, I'm really trying to figure out a way to sort of meld my worlds right now. She's been trying to meld her worlds for like 2 years, okay? She just keeps extending the melding process of like, we're just trying to figure out this modern parenting thing and, you know, see what works. It's like, girl, it's been 2 years. You're just dragging this out so you can remain on your endless holiday. I mean, you come home for 2 days and then you spend like 6 months in New York. But anyway, she's still on that tip. And then she says this, I go from being this single, independent gay woman living her best dream life in New York, going out all the time, saying yes to everything, staying out late, doing whatever I want, whenever I want. 5 hours later, I land, I've got to get the kids to karate and there's no downtime. So see how much she puts on the New York life of like, I go out, I do whatever I want, whenever I want, I'm single, I'm amazing. And then it's like, yeah, and then I've got to take the kids to karate. So she's making it pretty clear which of these lives she prefers greatly. Let me just interject too, because I do have some sympathy for her. I'm going to have a Bronwyn moment soon because my life's been pretty fucking boring for the last couple of years, basically since COVID and then moving here. Life has not been so exciting. So I'm definitely due for my Bronwyn moment. Of course, I don't have 7 kids that I'm going to abandon to do it, but I kind of get it. But does she need to put it out here so publicly, like just to make it so obvious how much she enjoys being away from the kids? Like, maybe be a little bit more discreet about it so the kids don't have to, you know, see online, the kids that are old enough, because I mean, she's got young kids too. She's got kids of every age, basically, from like 18 to, you know, 5 years old. But do you really need to shove it in their faces? So this is what she says now. This is another quote. For someone that lived their life in the closet for so long that secretly had a double life, now I'm out. But in many ways, I still have a double life. I would love to be able to have them as one. I'd love for my kids to see the woman that I am in New York. All my friends in New York are so much younger than me. I'm okay with that. I'm embracing every beautiful part of this coming out experience later in life. Maybe that is the good part about living bi-coastal, because I get to come back here and I'm back to being a 44-year-old mother of seven. I go back to New York and I feel like I'm 22 again. So again, this is another thing where she's saying how much she loves the New York life more than the life with the kids. And why do the kids need to see your life in New York? You're out partying every night. I follow her on Instagram. She's going out to all the gay bars. She's with people that are, you know, 20 years younger than her, just living it up. Do the kids need to see that? Like, it's not all about you. It's not about, like, I want the kids to see me out partying. It's like, can I be there and be a good mum for the kids? And here's the thing too. Like I said, I kind of get it, but there's got to be a little balance. So if you do need to have that time to get out and find yourself and explore, like, you know, we are in more modern times. You don't have to be like chained to the stove, but maybe go on like two good holidays for the year and stuff. But, you know, also remember the responsibilities at home. She's not even doing this 50-50, because I follow her IG, and when she's with the kids, she makes sure to splash it all over Instagram because she wants people to think that she's still being, you know, a present mom. So she'll be there for a few days, maybe a week. And then when she's off in New York or wherever, the trips are much longer. She spends, like, I reckon the balance is maybe she spends a quarter of her time with the kids. That could be being generous, honestly. Like, a quarter of her, 25% with the kids may be being generous. She's definitely more so out in Hawaii and New York. Now, she's currently on a cruise, which I'm going to get into. She's out on this, like, adventure cruise with all these people by herself. It's this whole thing of I'm solo traveling. This is another quote. She said, I'm feeling feelings I've never felt before. I'm feeling first love, first heartbreak. It's like Oz, and I just walked out of Kansas and everything's Technicolor. Okay, so the kids back home at black and white Kansas, boo, and then your new life's Technicolor. We get it. You hate being at home and you talk about it all the time and the kids can see how much you hate being a mum. So yeah, she's on this cruise right now and I've been following her IG. Let me play you one of her clips, one of her things. I'm just going to play it from my phone because I can't be bothered like ripping it and editing it in. Usually I try to be professional like that, but last week I was up to freaking like 1 a.m. doing this damn podcast. So we want to finish things a little earlier today. Let me get Bronwyn up. Good old Bronwyn.
Good morning. So day 4 of my solo adventure and I'm having the best time. As you guys saw last night, I did dinner alone. And by the end of the night, I am walking the runway on the dance floor with just the most amazing group of humans, singing karaoke, living best life ever on this, you know, beautiful second chapter of just say yes in my life. I want to give a huge shout out to...
It goes on and on like that. Yeah, so it's all about her second chapter. The first chapter with the kids has been forgotten. She has also teased a new reality show. That's obviously not going to happen. Like, she's not on a new TV show. She wishes. She's probably trying to film something. I would just kill to have her on Dr. Phil, and I think she would do it. Oh, my God. I'm getting aroused just thinking about it. Her on Dr. Phil confronted by Sean, like, you know, you're never with the kids, and then, like, all of the audience would be booing. Although maybe the audience would love it because maybe Bronwyn would play the whole, like, you know, I'm a modern woman, you know, like, I've got to explore myself. You know, there's more to me than just being a mum. And the audience will be like, woo! Like, oh my God, it would just be so good. Like, we need to get Bronwyn and Sean on Dr. Phil to hash this stuff out so I can enjoy it for my viewing pleasure. And you know who else is a hot ass mess right now besides Bronwyn? It's Bethany. She's actually been a little off the rails for quite a while. If you've been listening to the pod for a long time, you will remember me covering The Big Shot with Bethany in depth and what a weird show that was, even though I loved it, and how Bethany was touting how she was going to have this new wine that they were launching at the end. It was going to be the successor to Skinny Girl. It was going to be just as big as Skinny Girl. It was the new Skinny Girl margarita to usher in a new era of celebrity wine, and then she never released the product. We never even saw what it was, and then randomly she came out with this wine called Forever Young, but it was already a wine that had been on the market and been around for a while. And then Bethany kind of like slapped her name on it, but not really. And then she posted about it on social media once, and then we never ever heard of that again. So She's been a little all over the place for quite a while now, and I do like her, by the way. I posted something negative about her, I can't remember, but like a few weeks ago or month, whatever. I posted something critical of her at one point, and all the Bethany stans were in my mentions, and, you know, don't come for Bethany. It's like, oh my God, I like Bethany. I've met her in person. She was cool. I'm a fan, but, like, she's also a disaster. And also, someone left me a bad review the other week. He only talks negatively about black women. It's disgusting. Well, now you're getting Bronwyn and Bethany in one. So I'm dragging the white ladies too. Okay, so Bethany has been doing all these beauty reviews on social media. Most of you would have seen them by now. It's like budget beauty reviews. She posts them on TikTok. She posts them on Instagram. She does the YouTube shorts. She's basically flooding the internet with this content of her reviews. And her reviews are actually fun. I enjoy them. And I know a lot of people like them, although they're not the best reviews. It's just that she's very charismatic and she pops on camera. So it's fun to kind of watch her talk about anything, to be honest. But the reviews aren't that good because I watch a lot of, I've been getting into like skincare YouTube, like dermatologists and stuff. Like, so dermatologists on YouTube reviewing skincare, and they go through all of the ingredients and they break things down and they're like, this is why this works and this is why that doesn't work and stuff like that. And she's just kind of like, she just rants about what the package looks like and if it feels nice on her face. So I don't know how good the information is, and she'll compare like a drugstore foundation to like a Chanel foundation. Should go, well, you know, look, oh, this drugstore one's even better, or they're exactly the same. And it's like, they probably are exactly the same, because I've been on that tip lately too about how a lot of these products are completely overpriced and you can get the same shit from the drugstore. So I am trying to do my whole drugstore thing as well. But also, you know, how does the foundation wear? How does it wear over the day? How does it wear over time? Like, does the cheap drugstore one, is that going to make certain people break out? I don't know. They're just very, very shallow reviews. But people are enjoying them. And we all think that she's doing this, by the way, because she's going to come out with like a skinny girl drugstore skincare brand. That's what most people are suspecting. I definitely thought that at first. Now I'm almost thinking she's just doing it because she likes the attention, and she's probably been throwing content out there for ages. And now that this has worked, she's leaning into it. But I mean, look, even if she wasn't planning a skincare line before, I'm sure she is now, because she's going to go, I went through all the trial and error and I tried everything on the market and I know what works best at affordable prices. So it's either going to be makeup or skincare. So she did a video, actually it was on her podcast. She did a whole podcast episode about the Kardashians and how they're the worst and how she hates them and that they send a bad message to people. I mean, she went on and on and on. Here's a few of the things she said. What are we saying to our kids? What is the message? Take it all, be as rich as possible, filter as much as possible, be as fake as much as possible, brag as much as possible. I don't want to be a consumer of this anymore. Make it stop in my life. Make it stop in my feed and my news. Leave me alone with it. I don't want to see it every second. When I saw her say this, and I'm not a Kardashian, like, I don't watch the Kardashians show. I mean, I don't think that they have really a negative impact on society. They certainly influence trends, like, with everything, whether it's body trends or makeup trends or fashion trends. Like, whatever they do, like, girls do copy it. But whatever, if it wasn't them, it's someone else. Like, certain people are trendsetters in their generation, and the Kardashians are. I don't feel like I'm bombarded by Kardashian news. I mean, I know that I am, because they are always around, but I only follow Kim and Kourtney, and I don't follow many people that talk about the Kardashians. So yeah, I see headlines and I just scroll past them because I don't care that much. And so whatever, I don't feel like I'm being waterboarded by the Kardashians, which is what Bethany said. But even so, even if you are being waterboarded by the Kardashians, it's sort of beside the point, because Bethany's the exact same as the Kardashians. Like, it's crazy. I could not believe the lack of self-awareness when she went on this rant. Like, Bethany slaps her name on anything. So to act like the Kardashians are the only ones that are doing things like that, if you look at the stuff that Bethany has licensed Skinny Girl to, it's crazy. She had Skinny Girl lunch meats. She has had Skinny Girl skincare, by the way. She's had Skinny Girl bath salts. She's had jeans. She's had eyewear. She's had every type of food you could imagine, sweeteners, condiments. You name it, there's a, it's there's a skinny girl version of it, okay? Like, there's literally nothing that she won't do. Like, she will do anything if she'll make a buck on it. She doesn't care about the quality, because the thing with the skinny girl brand, besides the cocktails, which, you know, they were popular, she came out at the right time. I don't think those are the greatest cocktails that have ever been made, you know, but it was just a good marketing idea and a good branding at the time. But she doesn't care about making quality products for the most part. I mean, I can't speak to the denim or anything, but she makes really cheap stuff that gets, like, you find her stuff in the bargain bin of random like drugstores and chemists and stuff. Like, my friend was in Malaysia and sent me some skinny girl thing that was on a discount rack at the bottom. I can't remember what it was, like skinny girl ham or some shit. So, like, the stuff that she's putting out there is just absolute crap. Her skinny girl brand has also got in trouble for being, you know, unhealthy and stuff. Like, I know that she was using a chemical in the stevia and in the skinny girl margarita. I'm not sure if she's got rid of if she's got rid of this chemical now or if it's still in there, but it got dropped from Whole Foods, because if you mix this chemical with like lemons or lime, so the citrus in that or the acids or whatever would like react with this chemical and it can like give you cancer. So she puts out a lot of shit there. She's done every reality show. She had a talk show. She had Bethany's Getting Married. She's fucking had the show with Jason. She's done obviously the Housewives of New York, where she put it all out there. She's got a podcast. She's doing social media. She's got like 10 books. And I think that a lot of her books are kind of like, she'll put it under the guise of like, you know, business is personal, but then really it's just a dishy sort of like tell all about her life with some like generic business advice thrown in. And she's got diet books and stuff. She probably did not write those books. So again, there's nothing that she won't put her name on or brand or throw out there. She also said that the Kardashians lie about plastic surgery. Well, Bethany has been slammed for promoting unhealthy body images because she's so skinny. Remember when she put on Brynn, when Brynn was like 3 years old or 4 years old, whatever, Bethany like fit into Brynn's clothes and was like proudly parading around. She got backlash. Now, look, I was not outraged, but I was like, okay, cool. She can fit in Brynn's clothes, whatever. But people were like, you know, you're too skinny. But I'm just saying, like, the same shit that people complain about the Kardashians for doing, like, Bethany does that too and promotes that too. She also, for her to say that the Kardashians lie about plastic surgery, which they obviously do, but Bethany came out not that long ago and was like, I don't work out, you know, I just, you know, walk and stuff. And it's like, if you look at her body, she has the most amazing body. She's got abs and stuff. I don't think she eats much, which is probably part of it, but she works out. She had a fucking workout DVD, okay? She put out a workout DVD. She does like Pilates and yoga moves all the time. There's paparazzi pictures of her doing handstands on a surfboard in the water. And some people might think, well, yoga's not working out at the gym. Well, if you're doing like advanced yoga, it is. Like, advanced yoga and advanced Pilates is hardcore. And if she can do headstands on a board in the water, clearly she's in the advanced stage. So she's lying, saying that she doesn't work out. Like, what, she's so skinny because she just drinks skinny girl margarita and popcorn. So she's just such a liar. And I was just like, this lack of self-awareness. And I think she did do this obviously to make headlines. Like, she is savvy, but I also think that she's just like a narcissist, and she doesn't see the hypocrisy in what she's saying. Then after that, she came out and she said she was shadow banned on TikTok for talking about celebrity brands and the Kardashians, right? And then she tried to use an example of this, and she screenshotted like her views of her reels on Instagram. So she had all these videos that had gone viral that would have like a million views. And then she had a video, which was the podcast clip of her talking about the Kardashians. And it had about like 80,000 views or 40,000 views. It had like less views. Okay, when she took the screenshot, the video hadn't even been up that long, so it didn't have that long to go viral. Secondly, if you look at her TikTok and her Instagram, the videos of hers that are going viral are the makeup reviews specifically. So if you go on her TikTok, she has a couple of them literally went mega viral on TikTok, okay? One of them has 13 million views, one of them has 10 million views, and it's the Chanel makeup versus the drugstore one, and then there's something else. It's sort of these generic ones. And then, of course, the video that flopped is her on her a podcast clip of her, because, like, no one cares about her podcast, really. Like, it's actually not that popular. it was popular when she launched it, and she touted herself as like, I'm the best podcaster, I go number one in everything. And she had like Hillary Clinton on and all these big people. But the novelty of that wore off pretty quickly because she had bad audio quality. The guests started to get boring. There's so many of these celebrity podcasts where it's just a celebrity interviewing another celebrity. And people didn't really want to hear that much business advice from her. Like, yes, people like her business advice. Like when she gives it to you in a quick, entertaining Bethany style in like a rant or something, we like it. But hearing her sit down with like, oh, here's the founder of, you know, brasforbros.com, whatever. Like no one really cares about that. Oh, and now she's changed her podcast. If you go to her podcast, this is amazing. All of her podcasts now is just little rants about like the housewives and stuff. So she talked about Teresa's wedding. She talked about housewives that are getting divorced. She did the Kardashian thing. And then she'll throw in a celebrity interview in there every now and then. She did the Will Smith thing. And some of the episodes go for like 12 minutes, 10 minutes. So they're just bite-sized rants. And I also hate that they don't have, a lot of podcasts do this. They don't have a proper day and schedule of when they come out. And it's just like, oh, I'm just putting out 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there. I don't know. I just like things to be more organized. Like I really try to have this out on the same day every week. And then sometimes just with real life, I get behind. But generally, I try to follow that. But anyway, she wasn't fucking shadow banned. That's the point. Like it was the type of clip that she posted and all of that. So she was not shadow banned. But then she went on this whole thing because she has such an ego. The second that one of her videos didn't go viral and have all these views, she's coming up with conspiracies. And then she went on TikTok. I checked this before because the Kardashian stuff she talked about, it's made all these headlines and she's actually got a lot of good feedback for it. I thought more people would be like, girl, you're a hypocrite. Like, look at things you've lied about. Look at your branding history. Look at like you calling the paps. Look at like how savvy you are with things. Look at all the fake things you did on reality TV, et cetera, et cetera. I thought people would have pointed that out, but they really haven't. And I looked at her podcast reviews and actually she has a lot of reviews that are 5 stars. I'm like, thank you for speaking out about the Kardashians and, you know, like saying the truth, girl. And I'm just like, really? Like people are so stupid. But anyway, she went on TikTok and she did this video and she's trying to act like, you know, like this brave truth teller and, you know, like, I'll risk being canceled if it means telling the truth about the Kardashians. I'm going to play it for you in a second. But when I opened it, I actually thought she was being sarcastic. Like I thought she was taking the piss because I'm like, she can't take herself this seriously. And I was like, oh, she's being dead serious. Like she actually thinks that she did something. Okay, listen to this.
I'm proud of myself for speaking my mind when it's not that easy to do so, when it can be scary and you're alone, when everyone around you tells you don't say anything, you don't want to mess with these people, don't screw around, you have too much to lose. You know what? I don't want to be a follower. I want to be me, who has an opinion and is honest and is straightforward, and cancel me if that's not going to work, but I'm not going to be afraid.
Okay, were you raped by Jeffrey Epstein? Are you coming out against Prince Andrew? Because then maybe that would make sense, right? Look, they've told me not to speak up, but I'm not afraid. I was on Jeffrey Epstein's plane and Prince Andrew raped me. That would warrant that kind of video. Not, oh, I said that there's too much Kardashians in the media. Like, girl, how can she take herself this seriously? I couldn't believe it. Like, I'm watching that video. I'm like, oh, there's a punchline. Like, she's taking the piss and she's just making fun of this whole media scandal. No, like, she was completely for real. So I can't deal, but she's got a bump in the charts now. I checked her chartable ranking. She's back on there. It's worked for the podcast. I'm sure that's what she wanted because that's the only reason people really are tuning in for the podcast is for that. And by the way, that's what she should be doing, these rants. Like I said that a long time ago, maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, I said, you know, it's fun because she would on the podcast, she would do her little solo rants of 5-10 minutes, then go into the business interview. So you'll tune in, listen to the rant. And then when it's like, next up, Hillary Clinton, you're like, bye. And you like, turn it off. So she's figured out what works for her. It's being a personality and look forward to Skinny Girl Skincare. Now, I have been thinking that should I be moving to TikTok soon? I do have a TikTok account. It's the same at UnpopularJP. I don't use it. I don't really go on TikTok that much. I don't even go on Instagram that much. Like I go on Instagram for the podcast. Otherwise, I don't care. Like I don't watch that many people's stories or anything. It's really just to promote the podcast. And I'm mostly on Twitter. And even on Twitter, I'm mostly just in a, I have a K-pop group chat with some like old friends from my blog, and I mostly just use it for that. So I have been thinking, should I go on TikTok? But then I'm like, God, you know, TikTok's like a whole new thing and it's a different style of content. Because at least on Instagram, I can just kind of just post. Like, I'm not calculated with my posts. Like, I keep it in a certain realm of like, on there, I just post sort of celebrity shit and sometimes some stuff about my life. But, and just, you know, fun things like when I'm scrolling through Page Six or Daily Mail or whatever, I'll just screenshot and I'll share it there and maybe have some of my thoughts, or I'll recap. Like, if I'm watching The Housewives, I'll post my clips and give you my reactions in the moment on there, but it's not like planned out content. And I feel like with TikTok, you've got to be a little more like, I don't know, you've just kind of got to do it properly. And I mean, I guess I've got to go there eventually because everyone's going there, and Instagram's starting to flop. Like, people don't care about Instagram anymore. So I don't want to be like the old bitch that stuck around on Facebook when everyone first moved to Instagram, you know, like, or was still trying to make MySpace happen when Facebook came along. So you want to get with the times. I was listening to an interview with this Bachelor account that I follow called Bachelor Data. And I'm obsessed with this account, which if you don't watch The Bachelor, you'll just think, how could anyone care about this account? But this account literally breaks down everything on The Bachelor, like the amount of screen time that people have, the amount of Instagram followers they get after each episode, like anything that you can make into numbers and statistics to do with The Bachelor, it breaks it down. And one thing about being in the Bachelor fandom, one thing that we're all obsessed with is how much Instagram growth people get from going on the show, right? That's sort of a thing. And it's like a little bit of a race of like, who's going to get the most Instagram followers, right? And who's going to get the best endorsement deals. Like, that part is like fun to follow. And that's how this account started. And she did a pod, she went on a Bachelor podcast and she was talking about her account. And she was saying how the Bachelor stars now, they used to come off the show at the peak with like 1 million, 2 million Instagram followers. And now that's like halved, or people are only getting like 500,000 because everyone's moving to TikTok because people aren't using Instagram. And now they're getting more followers if they go over to TikTok, but it's still not quite the same because with TikTok, like, you've actually got to be like making, like, you've got to be doing like little videos and like actually giving proper content. So if you don't sort of try, like, people don't care. Whereas I think on Instagram, they could just post like a nice selfie and then it would do well. So I don't know. I'm just thinking about TikTok. Oh my God. And one last thing before I get onto the final like topic that I'm talking about today. I am doing a little bit of a Bethany right now with the budgets, not budget skincare, but with the skincare review, because I got Jeffree Star's skincare, you know, the YouTuber, and I love it. Okay, so let me just explain, because there's a couple of things. I said that I was going to, I think I've said this on Patreon a few times. I might talk about it more on Patreon. I can't remember if I told you guys, whatever. I can never remember where I say stuff. Did I say it on Instagram? Did I say it on Patreon? Did I say it on the podcast? But I was trying to cut back on just wasting money on stupid things because I'm not good with my money. And one of them was like skincare and getting sucked into stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? Moving forward, I'm just going to do the drugstore skincare for the most part, or just stick with Paula's Choice, which I like, which has gone up in price, but they do go on sale. But I still feel like it's a fair price point for quality ingredients. It's just easy to use. And then also The Ordinary. So I'm like, I just really want to stick with those. And then for other stuff, I'm just going to get drugstore things. Like my, I have a nice body wash, right, from this brand in Australia called Eco by Sonia. It's so nice. But it's all natural and organic and stuff. But it's like $30-something for the thing. And then when that ran out, instead of buying another bottle of that, I got the Palmolive Skin Food with the AHAs, which was on special for 50% off at the supermarkets. So I think it was like $7. And there was more product in that than there was in the $30-something Eco by Sonia. So anyway, I'm trying to do that, right? And I was like, I'm not going to get sucked in by these like gimmicky skincare things. But then the Jeffree Star skincare, I do follow him on YouTube, and he came out with this new line called Lavender Lemonade. He does makeup and skincare. And my new house has a really big spa bath, and I've really enjoyed using it. And this Lavender Lemonade is like geared for relaxation. So he themes his little launches because he does drops of like new things with a theme, right? And the Lavender Lemonade was all about, it comes with like these lavender bath salts and then this like face mask, and it was all for like unwinding. And I'm like, oh, God, I can just imagine having the lavender lemonade and, you know, relaxing after a big day. And I'm like, I have to get it. And it's priced pretty fairly, I will say, especially for a celebrity skincare brand. Like, look, it's not as cheap as drugstore stuff, but it's still cheaper. I saw a comparison. It's still cheaper than like J-Lo's skincare. It's still cheaper than Kim Kardashian's. And the other thing is that Jeffree Star's products do have really good reviews. Now, look, is it the absolute best skincare on the market? Of course not. But I've seen some dermatologist reviews of his things and they go through the ingredients and it's somewhat fairly priced for that style of skincare. And also the ingredients are known to be good ingredients. And also his skincare, his makeup brand specifically is known for having really great formulas. And Jeffree Star is like the most cancelled, besides Shane Dawson, Jeffree Star is like the most cancelled YouTube personality celebrity, right? So he's always in scandals. People kind of hate him. He's considered like really problematic, but people keep buying his makeup because it's known to be good quality. So he is known for like not just putting out complete crap like a lot of celebrities do, and he does develop the formulas like himself, whereas a lot of the other celebrity skincare brands, it's like a factory makes it. They make the line, they come up with the formula and everything, and then they wait to find a celebrity to partner with, and then they do the branding. So it'll be like, okay, here's Kylie's skin, but it was already made in a factory. So I felt confident getting the Jeffree Star Lavender Lemonade. It arrived the other day. I love it. Oh my God, I love it. And it smells so good. And I'm not one of these people that just gets sucked in and will like only buy a product because it smells nice. I actually don't really care. Some people are like, oh, you know, I only use this lotion because it smells good. I'm not one of those people. I actually was wanting to go to fragrance-free products because I do have sensitive skin. But the scent in this lavender lemonade is so delicious, okay? The packaging is really nice, so I'm happy to pay the price point of his stuff because the packaging is really, like, fun and it feels fun to use. The products feel really nice, and I do think that with some of these YouTuber people and celebrities, but especially the YouTubers, when they do put out these products, they have to be really careful about a lot of things because other YouTubers pick their products apart. Like, they just pick them apart to shit and they're so critical. And if you go on YouTube, it'll be like, you know, Kylie skin review, and it'll be like scathing of going through every little thing. So I think they do need to, a lot of the brands that end up succeeding, there's a lot of attention to detail and you could just feel that. And there's a lip mask in there, which I'd never used a lip mask before. By the way, I was posting this on Instagram the other day and someone's like, you're being paid by Jeffree. I'm like, I'm not. I just like it. I don't know Jeffree Star. I wish he would pay me or send me something free. Hey, Jeffree, if you're listening, send me the candle because I didn't buy that. But the lip mask, I've never used a lip mask before and I didn't know the difference. I'm like, what's the difference between a lip mask and a lip balm? Because I do wear lip balms during the day, especially in winter when my lips get dry. And the lip mask is like very goopy and thick, and it's like perfect to put on before bed. It feels so nice and it doesn't like rub off because it is quite thick. Like, I wouldn't wear it out during the day because then it's like too shiny and full on. Maybe if you're a girl, you would, but I feel like it would like get on things because it is like very thick. But it's perfect for at night and it's like not going to rub off. And then you wake up like 2 hours later, you know, dehydrated with dry lips. So anyway, the Jeffree Star Lavender Lemonade, it has my stamp of approval. Oh my God. And the face mist. The face mist smells so nice. So you know what? Maybe I will continue with a few Jeffree Star products here and there. But besides that, we're going the Bethany drugstore route and we're saying no to, well, Paula's Choice isn't drugstore, but you know what I mean. We're going cheaper. We're not getting like, we're not getting sucked in by gimmicks anymore, except for Jeffree Star. The last thing I want to talk about is this story in The Hollywood Reporter, which was the final days of the Wendy Williams show. And it does, it goes into how the show ended, what was going on behind the scenes with production, with Wendy, all the confusion around her condition. Because, I mean, look, most of you have been keeping up with the Wendy thing, I'm sure. But we all know she was hosting the Wendy Williams show, which is like the only good daytime show, pretty much. It was great. I was a huge fan. She started getting kind of erratic the last few years. There were some really awkward episodes. Then she sort of vanished and started having mystery health issues and we didn't know what was going on and we didn't see her for ages. And they kept saying, hey, she's coming back to the show. And then she wouldn't come back to the show. She's coming back to the show. She wouldn't come back to the show. That kept happening. Eventually, they ended the show without her. Sherry Shepherd is taken over and no one really knows what's going on with Wendy Williams. And I was hoping this article would shed more light on that. It does, but it also leaves more questions. Like, we still don't have a definitive answer. So I guess all of us have been wondering, right, is she on drugs? Is she, because, you know, she's been to rehab and stuff before, is she back on drugs or is she having actual health issues? Does she have Alzheimer's? Some people have thought she may have Alzheimer's. There's been a lot of different theories and we're all trying to figure it out. From this article, they don't give a definitive answer. It seems to be a combination of different things. One of them definitely being substance abuse. They said that during filming of the show, like, they would find bottles hidden around the office and in, like, weird places, so she was still drinking. I actually heard this a few years ago from someone that works in high up in, like, very high up in production. And when Wendy first went back into rehab years ago, I was talking to this person and I was like, oh, you know, Wendy's relapsed and she's back in rehab. And this person had said to me, I've heard she was, like, never sober. So all those years she was going on TV talking about her sobriety and stuff, she was never actually sober. She also has Graves' disease and lymphedema, which we know about. And actually she showed off the lymphedema on TMZ. She did a very bizarre interview with TMZ a couple of months ago where she looked completely out of it and she lifted up her foot, which looked like it was about to fall off because it's a issue. I think that health issue is like it doesn't circulate the blood and stuff, so it makes your foot look all dead and shriveled up. Anyway, she has a lot of things. She could have mental health issues. She could have Alzheimer's. I don't know. I think from reading this article and reading statements from her family members and stuff, I actually think substance abuse is the number one issue, but I think there could be some other health problems on top of that. And then the substance abuse just kind of exacerbates that and makes it worse. So that's my theory. According to the article with the whole thing with how the show ended, yeah, she went MIA on everybody. And then she would sort of reach out and she'd go, okay, I'm coming back to the show on this date. So then they would start gearing up for production. Then, like, she wouldn't show up and she would push it back. And they waited a really long time for her, but eventually they had to keep going with the show because they needed to keep the time slot. And all the advertisers were like, hey, we're waiting. We're going to drop the show from our schedule if you don't replace it. So remember they had guest hosts coming in, and then they decided on Sherry Shepherd to replace her. One interesting thing about the article to me was that out of all the guest hosts, Sherry Shepherd did rate the highest. And I kind of didn't expect that because they had Vivica Fox host, they had Leah Remini, they had Michael Rapaport, I'm sure they had Jerry O'Connell. So they had all of those regulars, and those people do have bigger, sassier personalities. And Sherry's actually, like, the safe choice, but she rated the highest. And I guess that does make sense because you can't really replace Wendy. Like, Wendy's shade and her style, there is only one Wendy. So if you do go with another one of these kind of, like, edgier people, maybe like a Michael Rapaport or a Vivica Fox, it could look like a Wendy ripoff. Whereas I think Sherry has a different energy and she's fun and positive. And, you know, the daytime audience, maybe they really like that. But anyway, that's why Sherry got the job. Wendy apparently never thought her show would get cancelled. So even though she left them hanging for, like, a year, when she turned on the TV one day and she saw that the Wendy Williams show was coming to an end and it was being renamed the Sherry Shepherd Show, and they removed all the Wendy Williams clips off of YouTube. That was a rights issue that they had to do that for copyright. She rang up and she's like, what do you mean I'm cancelled? They're like, we told you. The article also says that people would have conversations with her about the show being cancelled and then she would just, like, forget. And then you would have to have another conversation with her like it was the first time you were having that conversation. And people had some examples of that, and it would happen, like, 5 times. So again, I don't know if that's, like, an Alzheimer's or if that is the substance abuse because she gets drunk and high and she can't remember. She's being managed by her jeweler now. He actually doesn't seem that bad compared to these types of people. Because you know how, like, you'll have, like, friends that step in and try to manage someone and they're always, like, grifters trying to take their money. I don't know if he's that bad so far. I've read different quotes from him and he seems like he does kind of have her best interests. Like, he is trying to help her, but look, I don't know. They're trying to do a podcast together. She has talked about that previously. She's going to interview celebrities on it. I'm telling you now, that's never going to happen because she's not in the right frame of mind. She's not reliable. Again, whether this is because she's drinking too much or if she has other, like, you know, brain issues where she can't get it together. I'm not quite sure, but some paparazzi pictures came out of her recently. She was barefoot in a Louis Vuitton store in a Versace robe, and then she like fell asleep in the store with champagne. So she's a little off the rails, and this podcast is not going to happen. If she was sober and she was at her full capacity, that Wendy podcast would be a damn hit, because if you know, Wendy was like the queen of the radio before she did the talk show, and she was such a superstar in radio, and then she was a superstar in daytime TV. She could totally do that as a podcaster. And, you know, just before I was slamming all these generic celebrity podcasts where celebrities just come and they interview other celebrities, and that's why Bethany had to change and these never work. Well, she's the one person that actually would be able to come out, and even though that is a saturated field, people would listen because it's Wendy fucking Williams. So she still has potential in her career, but we need to figure out what's wrong with her. The article, it didn't give me the answers. We just know that there's something deeply wrong with her. At least it's confirmed that there is some kind of a substance abuse issue. So we know that, because before I was thinking, is it just like Alzheimer's? So there is substance abuse in there and whatever else she's going on. Who knows? Her family's very quiet about it. So her ex-hunter, Kevin Hunter, the son, she has a brother and stuff. None of them have come out and said specifically what's going on. And that also makes me feel like it is a substance issue with drinking or drugs, because the way that her brother, who does talk out sometimes, he won't say what things are, but some of the comments he's made seem to allude to that. I don't know. I just feel like if she actually did have something specific, maybe they would clear it up so people know. But then again, I guess it's bad business, because if they're hoping that if everyone around her, because she's worth a lot of money, they're hoping she can recover from this, they don't really want to put it out there to the public like, oh, hey, Wendy Williams has, you know, Alzheimer's, or I'm trying to think of something else, you know, she has some brain issue, because then she's never going to get insured or hired again. Whereas if maybe if they keep it vague and then they can clean up whatever this is, they can treat it, they can get her back to a place where you can put her in front of a microphone, then she can make more money. So, you know, very sad, but that's what's going on with Wendy. Thanks so much for listening this week. Make sure you follow me on social media. You can support me on Patreon, patreon.com/unpopularjp. I dropped the second part of my Ask Me Anything the other day, I think on the weekend, on Patreon. So that was just questions that you guys submitted me, and I answered everything. And yeah, tried not to be too shady, but you know how I am. Thanks, guys, and have a great week. Bye.